Hello, hello, beloved. I am so grateful to be here with this amazing guest, someone that I really admire, and because I know the work that it takes to put in into doing what she does. And so I want to introduce Nyasha Williams, the creator of Black Tarot. I am so thrilled to have you, a tarot creator, a tarot I'm going to say master as well, because when you make a tarot deck, it's giving birth. So you become a master, just like a mama, right? And so I just want to just welcome everyone to hear your message, your mission, your vision, and how the Black Tarot came. So thank you, beloved, for being here. Welcome to I'm Not Crazy, I'm Clairvoyant. Can you tell us, just to get started, I always like to ask right away, because I know we're all connected in so many different ways. When's your birthday? What's your sign? What are your big three? Because it sets us up and allows us to break the ice right away. So share with us, what are your big three?
Hi, thanks for having me. So my big three are Aquarius, I'm a Cancer moon, and then I am a Leo rising.
Oh, I love that. So we have that in common. I'm a triple Cancer. So we've got that Cancer moon, which is probably where that clairvoyance comes from. And that's why I always like to ask people what's their birth sign, because it is so related to what we do. We have so much karma, so many lessons, so much good juice that comes in our cosmic blueprint. So, beloved, I always like to start with this. What was your vision when you created the Black Tarot?
Yeah, I mean, I really have always been involved in creative worlds and just like wanting to create all throughout my life. And in terms of a deck coming into existence, that was kind of like my creative spirit coming through. But also, I felt a very strong call to divination. And so I felt like I need to combine these two. And what was missing for me in terms of divinational tools was representation, because I wasn't seeing myself the way I needed to be represented. And then I also was like struggling to really learn tarot the way I wanted to. The meanings were just not sticking the way I wanted them to. And I was like, all right, I feel like this is like, I need to do a reimagining for myself of what these cards would look like. Thinking about the meanings, like Rider-Waite-Smith, paying homage to Pamela Smith, of course. But I wanted to make sure that I was imagining of like what those meanings would look like in a visual sense for myself. And that's where the deck started, was me just like looking up all the tarot meanings and like, what would this look like on a card if I was to pull it? How would I instantly know that that is what the deck is trying to voice to me, you know? And so that's kind of where that began.
Oh, I love that, because, you know, we do have to honor our ancestors and pay homage, and then we reinterpret it in with our vision, with our experiences for the next generations. You know, our beloved sister, as you said, Pamela Coleman Smith, she didn't get that sense of representation. She had to work with the experience and the realm that she was in. And because many people don't recognize that she was a biracial woman of color, you know, and very white passing, because during those times, that's what a lot of our brothers and sisters had to do. But she created one of the most important tarot decks that, as you said, we all know and have. And so thank you for sharing that vision. And so with that, what is your mission with the tarot deck? Because I know a tarot deck is not just for you. You have a mission imprinted already on it.
Yeah. So Black Tarot's mission is really ancestral connection. It's for especially BIPOC communities to feel connected to divinational tools, because we have been distanced from our traditional practices, but it's also very much for people to start connecting with their ancestors. And so for me, I'm a transracial adoptee, And again, being a Black African American in the United States, there's this disconnect, multiple levels of disconnect from your roots, from who you are. And so a lot of this deck for me was my spiritual journey of coming back into my roots and reconnecting with my ancestors.
Oh, I love that. We're going to get into that in the origin story question in just a moment. So I love that this mission, and it's so true. That's the reason I created this podcast, because there is no representation of us in the spiritual world, in the, you know, divination world. And a lot of times that one of the first things when Black women, you know, any BIPOC people come, you know, am I going crazy? I had this dream, or I felt this vision, I sensed this, because we've been taught and conditioned and indoctrinated with the idea that if it doesn't make sense, it's not real. And yet many of us would not be here if we had not had the internal karmic recording to return back, to come back through this experience. So our ancestors, we truly are our ancestors' greatest gift, because we're waking up, we're remembering, And so I love, love. And I'm telling you, every single day I read the questions, I read the yin and the yang, I read the affirmation, because it does have a deeper sense. Mm-hmm. And I love how you put all that in there for the novice as well as for the well-versed. There's, like I said, we're always constantly learning. And if we think we know it all, we're already done. And so I love that you really make it simple but complex at the same time. So now let's ask about your origin story. So tell us, what was the moment that you knew that your ancestors had said, beloved, this is your mission, this is what you need to do? In that moment, you're like, what?
Yeah.
So tell us your origin story from that moment.
So I'm very much a firm believer that we have multiple awakenings. You know, it's not one. I think that there's these slowly we're awakening, and it's like multiple times we're having these rebirths. But the most clear rebirth I received was, 2020, I think, was for a lot of people, there was definitely this amplified, energy in waking people up and having a rebirth. And I got really sick. I was going through flu issues, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to try and take all this medicine, pass out, and hopefully I'll just be okay the next day. And, you know, when I take NyQuil, normally I will just sleep through the night. And that did not happen. I kept getting woken up. And I had gone to sleep in the guest bedroom and left my husband in our bedroom so that there's that space and he wouldn't get sick. And I kept waking up. And I was like, this is really weird. And I felt like I was hearing things too when that was happening, and not positive things either. So I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? So this went on for like 3 nights of me not sleeping, trying to take medicine, not feeling well. And my husband tried to help me. Like, I was up at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and he's like, let's go for a walk. Maybe you just need to burn off some energy. So we went for this walk. And we came across some really interesting animals at that time, which, like, now looking back, I'm like, you know, everything's a sign and a symbol if you're paying attention. And so when I looked up those animals, it's crazy at that time, like once I woke up and had more understanding. But we went on this walk, same problem, same energy. I was just so struggling to sleep. So eventually I was just so fed up, and I just felt like there's something here and I don't know what's going on. So I called my mother in love. We are very, very close. And so I called her up and I was like, I don't know what's happening. I can't sleep. I was like, your son thinks it's like hyperbolic a little bit. And I was like, I'm like, not sure what's going on, but I can't sleep and I'm not okay right now. So she was like, and I was explaining to her what was going on. She was like, okay, you need to go to your nearest Botanica. And this is what you need to get. And so she gave me this list to get my white spiritual bath. So I went to the Botanica, got my spiritual bath supplies. She was like, the best time to do it is between 12 and 3 at night. So stay up, do it at that time. And she had like all these instructions of like cleansing my house first, preparing everything. She was like, you need to burn bay leaves. And she had like a whole ritual for me to do in terms of cleansing and clearing so that I would be all right. I followed her directions to a T, and whew, I slept like a baby that night. And it was great. So, you know, from that moment, she kind of took me under her wing as I started walking into my spirituality and kind of being more aware. And you know, I was doing every Google search in the book after that situation, looking back on things, because there were so many signs that things were off. I was just not aware at that time. Just like, you know, I used to wake up all the time, and I'd gone to every doctor in the book because I used to wake up nauseous every morning. I'm like, I thought I was pregnant. There were times that, you know, I thought I had a food allergy. So I had gone to the food allergist. I'd done all these things. But like coming into consciousness, it's like there was probably very negative energy that was in my presence that I wasn't aware of, that I was very uncomfortable with. And it was like impacting my body. So that was really what kicked off everything and woke me up. And then I just really started stepping into, first of all, number one, I feel like when you wake up, it's protection, it's cleansing, and, you know, starting to build those relationships with your guides. And so that's kind of where I kicked off on that step. And so that was very much the basis of 2020 for me, was walking into that.
Wow. And, you know, I love that, because I do believe we all had a huge awakening in 2020. I mean, it's a huge year. Mm-hmm. It's a year. It's 2 and 2 equals 4. It's like all of our me, myself, and I and higher spirit coming together. And then our brother, you know, rest in power, Mr. George Floyd, for creating that spark, like wake up. Mm-hmm. Connect to a deeper source. Stop letting this go on. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like the perfect storm.
Yes.
And I definitely I really appreciate that. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I definitely feel that like 2020 was definitely a catalyst for people to like have to pause and really reflect on themselves. That's why people didn't really like being at home, because it forced us to confront things you might not be confronting, right? Like work is
everything, all of it.
Work is such a beautiful distraction from like addressing the real and what you need to handle. And so being forced to be at home in your own presence, it's like traumas that you've tucked away come to the surface. Maybe you're not living your way in a life that is in alignment with you, that's correct, that like, you know, is even, you know that it's kind of like maybe even, I would say dark, or like you're living in a way that's like harming people, and you have this awakening like, whoa, I'm not doing what I should be doing here. And so I think people's soul missions like started coming to the surface of like, whoa, this is not feeling, what I'm doing right now is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I feel like my soul mission is being spoken louder to me during this time. And so I think that a lot of people stepped into that. Like when you look at that transformation, right now there's a trend on TikTok of people showing what they look like at the beginning of 2020 and now as 2022. And it's like so many people have this crazy evolution of just like, you can see so many people who were really conforming to society in the way that they were expected to be, and just this complete transformation of where they are now.
Oh, I love that. And because I'm not on TikTok. And so thank you for sharing that, because, you know, as a psychic medium, I have been sharing this with people. We're in the age of Aquarius. This is going to happen. And it's just like, if we think about it, you know, 5 years ago, everybody was just talking about witches, right? And then, and so that was as far as you could go. Talking about witches was still, oh, you're one of those. Okay. Or then it was, oh, you do tarot. Okay. Oh, you're still, but now it was like, oh, I have a spiritual advisor. Am I astrologist? Because we've been being prepared mm-hmm. for this. And you're right. That staying home activated us, because as BIPOC people, many of us have been taught to be in survival mode and to be in struggle mode. And so when you remove the struggle, when you make us actually sit down, rest, restore, and recharge, we can then review and reflect And that's what we're experiencing now, is the rebirth. And it was the Black Panther too. And the way we had to see how our brother showed up for us, rest in power. And none of us even knew that he was ill, and he still showed up for us.
Very true. Right? It's very much the hanging on energy in terms of like 2020, of that like self-reflection, that solitude, like really sitting with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And can you sit with yourself?
And look what you...
Because I think some people realize they couldn't sit with themselves. And that was like like something to reflect on in itself.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that kickoff in 2019 that went into 2020 and went into 2020, and then from 2021 to 2022 was like this like recalibration of all of that. And now here in 2023, it's a 7 year of numerologically, and seven is a spiritual number. It's a spiritual reset, which is why now, as I said, everybody went from, you know, I had never thought in my life I would see tarot decks in Target, but now there's tarot decks in Target, right? Whereas before, you know, you had to go looking in the subversive for in the underground world for some tarot decks, right? And so you mentioned a little bit about your spiritual practice. Can you share with us just another, like, what does your spiritual practice mean to you? And what are some of the things, and what do you follow, if there is any? Because I recognize also that many of us are combining our African tradition as well as what we've, you know, learned from the world, Indian, some, you know, Caribbean, all, we're really making our own individual religions, which is exactly how everything started in the first place. Everybody had their own practices, but the thing that's most important is we can speak about ours now without the shame and guilt that had been stigmatized and demonizing all of our ancestral work, from hoodoo to voodoo. It is not bad. It's just different. The thing is, too, that I have to say, and that I want us to really recognize as Black and Brown people, if it was so bad, why did they have to erase it? And then why is the other half of the things in museums, in the Vatican, you know, if it was so bad, why did it have to be completely erased?
Good questions. So I now practice ancestral veneration, and that's very much felt natural to me. I grew up in the church. I grew up Christian. I mentioned I'm a transracial adoptee. So my parents, I was baptized Lutheran, but my parents, it was never about the specific denomination. It was about what is the church doing in terms of outreach in the world. So I was confirmed in the Anglican Church, and, you know, my parents are now in Mennonite, so I've been through many different denominations of Christianity. And I can't say that there haven't been things that I've gained from them, but there's also been so much hypocrisy for me, and something was not aligning for me, and I was still visually, honestly, seeing white Jesus. And
absolutely,
that was
100% get
not
it.
Making sense for me. Yes. So I really struggled with the church. I went in and out, like it was a lot of back and forth for me, in terms of being in the church and with my, you know, the generational sense, like when I used to go home, because I went to college in the States and my parents were still in South Africa. And so I would go home to visit for Christmas or holidays. And, you know, my parents still had the expectation that I would attend church with them, even though I, at that time I was not identifying as a Christian during college. And so, you know, it's always been that kind of like forced part of my life, that an expectation to be a part of my life. And so really, I think that something that, again, like has been very clear to me in terms of parenting, if you're going to be a parent, part of that process is understanding that your children have to become their own person, you know, because a lot of parents want their kids to almost be these mini versions of themselves or live out this specific vision they have in their heads. And the reality is they can be the complete opposite of what you envision or want or is in alignment with you and the way you believe the world should be and the way you walk. And you have to be prepared for that. And you have to be able to let go and allow that to be. And I think that, you know, that was a lesson that took, I think, a little bit longer time for my parents to learn. But thankfully, they have fully stepped into that and are very much embracing my journey in discovering my spirituality, what feels good for me in terms of what holidays I want to celebrate or what is makes sense to me in terms of celebrating. I'm very much now in Kwanzaa and Juneteenth feel very much in alignment to me compared to other holidays. And I'm not saying that there isn't space for those other holidays, but again, first of all, people need to look at the origins of those holidays. Like, we got to look at like how Easter came to be and how these different Christian holidays came to be. But I also think they need to be decentralized because a lot of things in our world are operating around a Christian holiday schedule, operating like our calendars, operating around, you know, decorating our spaces around Christian holidays. And I think that is something that needs to be looked at and reflected in because not everyone is a Christian. And so that space to understand that there's more than Christianity and that there's a lot of people who are honoring different holidays and kids normalizing other holidays and traditions is necessary and important. So ancestral venerations felt very natural to me. Again, kind of like you talked about in the witch walk, I started waking up in 2020 thinking, oh, I'm a witch. Okay, what kind of witch am I? And that's kind of where things stepped off. And then I was like, okay, I think I'm, you know, feeling that I should be working with guides and deities and things like this. And, you know, trying to figure out what is the right path for me in terms of my spirituality. And then when I walked into ancestral veneration, I was like, oh, this is beautiful. This is perfect. I was like, this feels so in alignment. Like, I feel like, again, in connection with, like, I think there's always recognition for us as BIPOC communities of how we've gotten to where we are right now. I think that's like a regular reflection. Like, whenever you're doing anything in the world, there's some story that is in linkage of our ancestors of us being able to do what we're able to do now. And so I think that just feels very natural for me. And I think, again, sometimes when people think ancestors, they think like your blood, straight ancestors. And yes, that a connection is there. But I also think that there's like when we say ancestors, it can go so beyond blood. First of all, because I'm adopted, I was like on my ancestral altar, my adopted ancestors are on there as well, like in part of my adoptive family. Like, so I have my mother in love and my husband's family. And like ancestors on that side. And then I have my blood ancestors because I'm connected to my maternal birth family. And then I have my adoptive family. So like all three sides are connected and on my altar because they're all a part of me and connected. But even beyond that, it's like I'm a writer. I'm doing things that, you know, maybe some of my ancestors felt the call to do that they never had the opportunity or the chance. And I feel like they come through me when I'm writing. So I feel like ancestor, sometimes people just think this very strict, like, lineage tree, but it's so much broader than that as well, I think.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. You just spoke to all my heart spaces because, you know, I have to say, I was terrified. I'm like, am I voodoo? Do I get into hoodoo? Like, where do I go? Right. And, you know, I was listening to the goddesses, to the white goddesses, but like you said, and I also studied A Course in Miracles for years. I studied, you know, science of mind, trying to find my thing. And I still was like, I am missing something. But once I connected to the Ifa tradition and other African traditional spiritual practices, regardless of what name it is, it just changed everything for me. And so for me, connecting to Ma'at and Nut, our Kemetic, you know, connection, you know, before it was Egypt, it was Kemet, you know what I'm saying? That That is, I just deep within me feel that. And it is so important that we recognize that our ancestors are not just those who are our blood. And, you know, we got Toni Morrison, Harriet Tubman, Zora, Maya, we got them all here with us. Because, and I remember the videos, you know, and watching the ones of Toni speaking and even Maya speaking. But the one that Toni said, she said, when you walk in with your ancestors. And now the fact that she's an ancestor, I want to carry her with me. Yeah. You know, Harriet and Sojourner and, you know, all of the other women that I do not know, but I do, you know. And so it is important that we have that ancestral practice, because it took a whole bunch of them to make us who we are. And I'm grateful for their struggles as and their survival for, as well. So I appreciate what you said.
Very much so. And I think, you know, people get nervous about working with their ancestors, especially non-BIPOCs, because they have ancestors who, you know, may not be in alignment with where they're trying to move in the world now and how they're trying to live out, especially when you start digging into your past and your roots and your family tree. But the point is that there are ancestors that are in alignment, who are trying to do the work you're doing, and you can connect with them. And so that's always when you're trying to connect with ancestors, you know, you speak towards my highest good and with ease. You speak that are in alignment with me and my soul mission. And that's who you work with, you know?
That's right. Yeah. And if you, I mean, as always, like attracts like. So if you're working and playing in the dark, that's what you're going to get. So it's just as easy as that. And so thank you. And so last couple of questions. And so why now? I know you talked a little bit about the 2020, but what was the real why now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's beyond my understanding. I think that, like, you know, sometimes spirit is just like, this is the time. We know divine timing is everything, right? And I think of, it makes me think of my first children's book that came out, I Affirm Me. That manuscript was sitting on my computer for, like, I would say at least 2 years, maybe. And when I started going into authoring, I did self-publishing, and I didn't even do I Affirm Me first. I did What's the Commotion in the Ocean first. And I self-published that book. And when those illustrations took off from my What's the Commotion in the Ocean, and ended up, you know, connecting me with my literary and my now literary agents at 22 Media Works. And that really kicked off my authoring career and being like getting me into traditional publishing and that existing at all. And so I feel like there's this divine timing, because, again, even I Affirm Me coming out in 2021, you know, just like the timing felt exactly as it was meant to be. And so I couldn't tell you for certain on myself, but I feel like just, you know, I'm listening to what the guides and my spirit guides, my ancestors are telling me what needs to happen at this time. And yeah, so, you know, Black Tarot has come through, and I'm so happy it's in the world, and I'm so happy of its existence. And then I'm like, I have collaborated with my sister, Grace. We have collaborated with the same illustrator of Black Tarot. We have created a oracle deck, and it is an elemental oracle deck. And the goal of it is balance within yourself, because we are the elements, and the elements are it both within and outside of us. And so we designed that as well, and that will be coming out in the fall, so in September of this year. And I'm actually working on another collaboration deck right now, because I just feel like, you know, I listen to what spirit's telling me and what needs to exist. And there's a very specific deck that I'm hearing needs to come into existence. So I'm hoping that the decks, I know people love to collaborate in terms of the decks and like love to pair decks. And I'm hoping that all my decks pair beautifully together in terms of just allowing that alignment and allowing people to hear what they need to hear to get them back in alignment, to get them in alignment with their soul mission, and to connect with their ancestors and spiritual guides.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I need Ama All now. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that with us. Did you hear it? We heard it here first. Two new decks. So I'm looking at the deck right now, because again, I just love it. And I have committed to using it for this year. So yeah, that elemental one. Oh, I can't wait to get that. I'm trying to get to my favorite card so I can, of course, it's going to be at the bottom because I actually have it as a tattoo. And so I wanted to just dive in because of what you just said. Oh, where is it?
Huh, I pulled a card before our session today too.
Did you? Which one did you get?
I got the 9 of coins for us.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Thank you, ancestors. I'm looking for the High Priestess because that's the card that I have. Oh, there she is. First of all, I love she's wearing purple, my favorite color, as you can see here.
Mine too.
But I love the, of course. I love that you've got the moons, and I love that you put the moons in every single thing, because as a triple Cancer, the moon is my, I can't even talk about it. But I just really love these cards. I love, as I said, knowing this natural energy, and then knowing that a sister made it, you know, like, beloved Miss Cleo, did you see the Miss Cleo special that came out back in January, the Miss Cleo movie that came out?
I have
out?
Not seen that yet because I obviously know about her, but I did not know that.
Oh, yes. It's called Me Miss Cleo. Please look it up. It's on HBO Max. Okay. I watched it the first day. It's the reason I got the HBO so I could watch it. But, you know, her deck was created by two white men who just threw something together, put her cover on the box. Whoa. And the deck is really not a pretty deck at all. It's the art is, it's bad. It's, but her face is on it. Right. Mm. And so I bought it to bring her into my home and into my space, you know, and she is also one of my spirit guides, you know? And so I wanted to just have her here. And so when I know that it came from, it was birthed through your experience. You know, they say we learn best from our own. And so that's why I tell all my students when I'm teaching tarot, oh, throw out the book. Don't look at the book. Trust your intuition. But with your book, it's a workbook. And I do have the workbook. I have the journal too. Yeah. I do have the journal, the ancestral illumination. Yes, beloved. That is such a beautiful journal and has inspired me to create one as well.
That.
And so, oh, yes. I mean, I just, and now when you said this, two more decks, like, what? Put me on the list, please. And so I promised I wouldn't keep you over, but I wanted to ask you this one and final question. Mm-hmm. What was your I'm not crazy, I'm clairvoyant moment? Like, what was that moment when you're like, you know what? I know it sounds crazy. I know other people might think it's crazy, but I'm listening to what I'm being told and I got to do this.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of those moments because I feel like when you're on the spiritual walk, you need your people who are in that, because for real, like, if you tell some people who are not walking that walk, they're going to really are going to think you're crazy. And they're like, what are you talking about? Or come up with like a million, like, you know, very logical reasons for why whatever's happening is happening. But I think there's so many moments, honestly, but I think an example of, okay, so when I had my spiritual awakening in 2020, one of the things I really heard, because I, like, honestly, I went, Keegan and I, my husband and I did a, we did a stay away, we kind of did like a little staycation up in the mountains. Right after that, it was perfect timing, right after I did my spiritual bath, my first one. And when that happened, I kept getting woken up that whole night, but not in a negative sense, not like the original when I was sick. It was like the guides were trying to talk to me because, like, I was clear and I was much more awake. So I kept getting woken up and I would turn and look, and then there was a microwave in the room and I would keep seeing the times. So I was definitely guided to, like, read the angel numbers of these times. So I kept reading them and, like, taking all these notes because there was just so much information they were giving me. But one of the first things they said is you need to do a full clean of your house, like physically and spiritually, like each aspect of your apartment. You need to go through each space and cleanse. So I took that in and I was like, okay. And I told my husband that's what we've got to do. We came up with this game plan. We're going to room by room together. So that's what we did. And when we were cleaning out the garage, I was walking like trash and I came across a snake skin, a shed, like a shed snake skin. And I was like, how could this? This is so clear. This is like clear as day. I called my mother-in-law. She's like, you need to burn it and like allow that release. Yeah, I was like, I think we get signs like that all the time. And it's just a matter of like, are you paying attention? And like, are you listening and receiving, you know? I think another really beautiful moment was when my husband and I were burning ancestral money for the ancestors as an offering. And we have a list of all the names that we know are connected to our family. So my sister and I wrote up an Excel document that has all the names of all of our names that we know are connected. And we always obviously say ancestors that we don't know. And then we always say ancestors who chose to sacrifice their lives rather than being in enslavement, you know? So we always burn for everybody in that sense. But when we say some of the names that are closer to us, I think in terms of blood, the fire will get hotter because we did it. When we speak the names, we hold hands and we do it over the fire together, and it will actually get warmer. And it's like something that, like, again, I don't think not everyone would recognize or like think like, oh, I think that's just maybe in your head. But it's something that definitely I notice is that when we would say specific names, the flame would burn stronger. And if you know about candle magic, then you know about candle magic, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And once you start learning, then the doors open. It's like the library of who you're meant to be and the magic that you have just expands. And this is why it's so important for us to be on our wellness path, to have a deep spiritual practice. Like, our spiritual practice has to come first because it is what protects us from what is happening out there.
Yes.
It is what shields us and provides for us our next steps. And we really have to anchor this in for ourselves, because we can think ourselves to insanity. But when we have our spiritual practice, we know, you know what? Today was one of those days. Let me go do Olympia. Let me clean. Let me, you know, say we must come back to our ancestral practices, which is exactly what they did not want us to do. And so the more we come back and the more we decolonize our spirituality, we decolonize tarot, we decolonize wellness, and we in fact then empower ourselves and each other, this is how we grow. And they are not prepared for that. They're not prepared for that. So we need to be what? Ready. Because they're not prepared, but we must be. We must be. So, this has been so rich and juicy. And again, I just appreciate you. I love what you do. Please put me on all the lists. And we'll have to have you back once you get that next one. And yes, I just applaud you, sister, so much for your support and really creating something beautiful for each of us and
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The same time. And so go be bright and beautiful and enjoy this energy that we get to experience right now. And just know that you are loved, you are light, and oh so blessed. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you for having this space. Like, it's necessary. And you know, there's abundance and there's enough for everybody. So we got to keep supporting each other as a community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ashe.